From the NCHC.TV studios, this is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Welcome in, hockey fans, to another episode of College Hockey West Live. And this one is kind of bittersweet because the NCAA hockey season came to an end last night. The Denver Pioneers getting the win, but Scott Strandy with you tonight, live from Lake Elmo, Minnesota. My co-host, as always, Paul Hornstein, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial estate, which we now call the Command Center, out on Long Island, New York. Paul, how are you? And have you digested everything from this past weekend?
No.
No.
Okay, simple. How are things in the estate? And be taking good care of the servants and all that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. How about the Command Center? Has that dusted everything off? Got it all ready for next season now? Because really, College Hockey West Live is done for the year. However, it's not, because we have so many things to talk about all summer long. Trust me, we will be busy.
Well, I hope so. I know I say it every year. We get to this point in the season, I'm like, what in God's name are we going to talk about?
We have so many coaches. We have so many players that are making the move to professional ranks that will eventually become, I hope, guests of ours. We can talk about how they got there, their experiences in college. So there's a ton of things.
Right.
We could probably go on, Paul, for a month or two just talking about the transfer portal, what needs to be fixed, how guys are moving around, how many guys maybe will not even find a home. So
well,
go into the portal, and all of a sudden, you don't know the place to play.
I know that theoretically and technically, the door always remains open for players to go back. But I don't know. I don't see where that happens that much.
You are 100% correct on that. And here's the problem. Unless you have a mutual agreement with your coach, but if you and your coach or current coach are talking about maybe you should check out the portal, that probably means there's not a whole lot of playing time for you. And if you decide that you want to go check out the portal on your own, and then want to come back, you better come back groveling, because you're going to need to.
And I'd say right now there's about, I guess, about half, maybe half the guys that went into the portal have found a place to play. Obviously, most of the top players don't usually hang around that portal too long. There are some that are still out there. Again, I want to see what these numbers are like a year from now when the COVID guys are gone. I'd like to kind of, and I'm not good at all the technical stuff. There's a lot of seniors on this list.
Yeah, an awful lot of guys
Paul, that I don't know what happened here. I got feedback, and I didn't want to get feedback. So how's that? Is that better?
Yeah, I didn't hear any feedback. I heard a little bit when I first came on, but I haven't heard any since. So
okay, well, I just got a little feedback, but I think I hit a wrong button, so I fixed it. Yeah. But as I was going to say is a lot of these seniors do have that COVID year and are looking at a grad transfer. We talked about that in nauseam, basically, from Colorado College because they don't have – and it's right. The same way a lot of places. If they don't have, you know, like Casey Dornbach a couple of years ago left Harvard and came to Denver for a grad year because Harvard didn't have a grad option for him.
Right, yeah.
So I get that part of it. But here's the thing that I think is going to cause a problem. There are just so many talented players coming in right now that some of these guys that are maybe going to the portal for the reason that they want to find more playing time might not be able to find it because we just witnessed this weekend at the Frozen Four a boatload of freshmen that came in that were very good players.
Yeah.
And if you keep bringing in top quality freshmen, eventually you push guys out and I don't know where they go. So,
well, I think that's what some of these, again, I'd like to see the, and again, I'm not the guy to do it, but you know, as I scroll up and down the list, it's just a ton of seniors, which is why I'm sitting here thinking that next year, I'm not saying the portal is going to be empty, but I don't think you're going to see 300 players in it.
No, I would bet it's going to be more like half of that, probably 100 to 150. Yeah. And those are going to be those guys that maybe are disgruntled or maybe just want to change the scenery or maybe want to be closer because of family.
Whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever it may be. It'll be more quote unquote realistic numbers because now the numbers are not realistic. You can't have 300 players in your portal year after year and expect anything to happen. Plus, I also think, Paul, that there's going to be a lot of talks, quote, discussions in Naples in a couple of weeks where they're going to try to do some sort of corralling of this, whether they can do it above board and the coaches just kind of go to each other and go like, hey, listen, can we work together here and don't be doing any of this shenanigan stuff and fishing my players?
But well, then we know that's not going to happen.
It's a concern.
We know that's not going to happen.
Because, I know, but there's no way. That's the only way that things can be reined in is on a trust system because there's no way to take this out. As you like to say, there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. It's out now.
Well, it's not going away. Again, but you're asking them to come up with a way that's good for the game.
Or don't go there on that.
Well, that's what you're asking. So
no, I don't think that's what I'm asking. I think what I'm asking and what the coaches are gonna be asking each other coaches, like, come on, dudes. Don't be poaching. You know, you don't need to poach our players. Recruit them. If they come to you in the recruiting process, great. But don't be poaching them. Don't be going out there looking like, you know, we need a better goaltender, so let's go underhandedly talk to this guy and see if we can't make something happen. It's not going to work, but that's what the attempt's going to be.
Well, honestly, I'd rather see them work on a few other things first.
Hey, good luck with that.
Well, I know. So, I mean, because those are the things that will actually make the difference. In what happens to college hockey and whether or not it grows or not.
Okay, well let's jump back to Friday afternoon when they had their state of the game.
You don't want to talk about Denver some more first?
No, I want to talk about this first, and then we'll get to Denver because we started this topic, and I want to put a cap on it. What's happened? And they looked me right in the eye when I said, I want to talk about the independents. It was kind of funny because they looked me right in the eye and said, pretty much, they better figure it out on their own. We don't have any responsibility for helping an independent program, which tells me, Paul, that they may say it publicly that they're interested in growth of the game, but they're not. If they were interested in the growth of the game, what they'd be doing is they'd be going out and going like, hey, let's figure out a way to involve these independent teams because they, you know, we want more numbers. We want, you know, what if you looked at it this way? We want a 20-team tournament, so but we need 8 more teams or whatever. How about we look at it that way? No, that's not what they want. They don't care. They just simply don't care. If you find a team like Arizona State, who is a rare independent team that came in, played independently, and then was able to find a conference, or you look at a team like St. Thomas or Augustana, who had built-in conferences for them, and that's basically what they told me. They said, you know, if there's an independent team out there, they better A, have money, and they better have a roadmap or a quote-unquote conference alignment ready when they come on board. Otherwise, yeah, they're welcome to play, but they're just not going to get any real opportunity to play for a championship.
That's funny because I know some teams that had conferences and were basically said, you won't leave, so we'll leave you.
What in the world do you mean by that, Paul?
What I mean is there were less independent teams when there were different conferences in college hockey. And one of those conferences that doesn't exist anymore because they didn't want to keep teams that are now independent in their league and some others that don't exist anymore. They said, you won't leave, so we'll leave you. And they formed their own conference.
That also did come up. Location came up. And I wanted so badly to be able to ask another follow-up question. But by that time, the mic had been removed from me. And I wasn't able to do that. But I would love to ask the question that, you're telling me that if you're in certain parts of the country, you can't have a team because it's difficult to get to you. I'm talking about Alaska's. I'm talking about Oregon, maybe, or, you know, other places.
Oregon wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
Because Oregon would come in with a league.
Right. And I'm also going to say this. Everybody says, oh, yeah, just wait till the Big Ten gets rolling and gets Oregon and UCLA and USC. I just honestly don't see that happening, Paul, because do you think the Big Ten wants more competition? I mean, they're griping already about, oh, we've got 2 teams or 3 teams in the tournament. They don't want more competition within their own conference? Absolutely not.
First of all,
because if you come in and let's say you're a school that has money, who has money out west, Paul?
USC.
Which one of the universities in the Pac-12 have money?
There is no more Pac-12.
The former Pac-12.
USC.
USC's got money.
Yeah.
If they come in at USC and say, okay, well, hey, guess what? We're in the Big Ten now. We can now have a hockey team.
Right.
You don't think they could unload all the resources they wanted to in Southern California and hurt on the conference?
They could have a team tomorrow. They could have a team tomorrow. So could, by the way, Stanford. Now, granted, they're not in the Big Ten. They're going to be in the ACC. You figure that, right? but also, could start a team tomorrow if they wanted to. They don't have any desire to. We know that there are some schools that would like to, but don't have near the resources. Forget the organization, because the organization doesn't matter without the resources. Okay? We know there are schools that at least are mildly interested, but don't have the resources. because either they're not available or they can't get somebody to write the check.
Paul, let me tell you this also, and I don't think I've told you this even off the record, but the first question, and the guy sitting front and center at that State of the Game conference, and the very first question asked was from a black gentleman that was from a newspaper, website, something in the Twin Cities. And he was there clearly to ask one question and get one answer. And I don't think he got it. He asked simply about, you guys talk about inclusion. Hockey is for everyone. But yet I look around and I see very minimal black hockey players playing college hockey right now. And he asked them point blank, and they kind of hedged it. They kind of went around and said, well, you know, we're trying to get people included, but it's a difficult thing because the sport is expensive and this and that. And, you know, there's not that many quality players playing, quality players of color that have interest in going to this level. Like, they kind of just skirted the whole thing. But that's going to be another issue. And I kind of disagree with them. I think there's been a lot more in the past of players of color, shall we say, that are getting the opportunity to play NCAA hockey. I talked with Marshall Warren from Michigan, the other day, and he's very satisfied with what's happened. I mean, you look around the conference, there are teams, but I kind of steer this in a different direction for a second, but that's what I keep saying about Tennessee State. They have great plans. They have great desire, but A, they need money. B, they need a building. And C, they need to be realistic about what kind of talent they have. If they think they're just going to go to Canada and bring all the best wherever, black players from wherever they are, and they're just going to be, you know, a top team, that's not it. What's your line that you tell me about Miracle? And by the way, we tried to watch that today. But anyway, what's your line about Miracle? What does Herb say about building a team, Paul?
Which one? I mean, there's a thousand things. The name on the front.
You know, about building a team. Oh, how come he didn't pick the best players? Because what was he looking for, Paul?
Looking for the best players, looking for the right players, Herb.
Yep. He's looking for the right players. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you can build a roster of 20 black hockey players and they're the right players. You need to mix. You need to mix and match. Maybe you might run into a situation where that works. So when you're talking about inclusion, I think that's a difficult thing to deal with. Far more difficult than dealing with your independence. Because I've given them a great plan for the independence. Just give them one spot. Because right now what you're telling them is, if you guys go 30-6, you're probably still not going to get a tournament spot. And if you do, by the way, it's going to be 12, 13, 14, something like that, where your chance of advancing is slim and none.
You know, we have been sitting here, and again, I'm just reminding people that I want to get back to, you know, I don't want people to think we forgot about Denver. You have to have, I sit here and I looked at the pictures and I looked at the various things from the State of the Game, and maybe Scott Sandelin is 50 years old. You know, who else is on that? Because it looks like everybody on there was 85 or 90. And, you know, I mean, just we need some people up there.
Hold on. I got to stop you on that because that's not really fair. Eric Martinson, Scott Sandelin are pretty young. I think Jeff Schulman is not quite that old. I don't think
I'm any exaggerating.
Of the four that I saw. Yeah, I know. They may be old in their ways, but they're not old in age, I don't believe. I believe I may be older than all of them.
You might be. You might be. Here's the thing, though. Again, you know, you need some guys or gals on that committee that are open to new ideas. And I just don't think that a lot of those guys are. They just like to be able to say, we talk about it.
No, not talk. Discussions.
Really, oh, sorry. Good discussion. They discuss the idea of discussing possible changes or so forth and so on. But that's all they do is they discuss the thought of discussing it. They don't really actually discuss it.
I want to give them a new word, though. How about you discuss and then you decide something? Let's use the D word, decide, because you can't keep pushing this down. They pushed this down the road forever. How long has it been since the old WCHA went away and the Alaskas were out and then the CCHA was formed? I mean, that's been years now down the road.
Has it been?
It's been a while because we've been doing this for 8 years and they weren't, the WCHA wasn't here 8 years ago.
Okay.
So what I'm telling is every year it gets pushed down a little farther and it shouldn't be pushed down. There has to come up with some resolution on it. And here's the thing, I guess, that frustrates me even more. The blue bloods, so to speak, that we call blue bloods and maybe are, they call themselves that. Yeah, we're blue blood programs and you got to work your way in to be a blue blood program.
I don't think anybody's asking for that, though.
What? I know, but come on. Can we just talk about hockey in general? And, you know, then they like to say, oh, it's a great opportunity for student athletes. No, it's not. If you're in Lindenwood or you're at Long Island or Stonehill or anybody that's not in a conference, then it's not an equal opportunity and it's not in the best interest of the student athlete to play the sport. Because they don't have the end goal. Nobody goes to college to place an athletic event, no matter what it is, with the idea that they're going to just play. They're not going to play for a championship. They all want to play, whether it's golf, tennis, track. Everybody wants to win an NCAA championship. So if you're at LIU right now and you're playing college hockey, yeah, you're playing college hockey. Yeah, you may get drafted or you may get a pro opportunity here and there, but you don't have a shot at playing in the NCAA tournament. You do not have a shot because you can't produce that kind of record. ASU is a great example this year. They produced a record that was worthy of a top 10 spot in the national tournament, and they were actually in the top 20. They weren't right. Even in the top 10 with that kind of a mark. So how do you expect any independent to, A, play a bunch of road games to help them in the pairwise, B, play quality teams at home and away, and C, go out there and play so well that you produce a 30-6 mark? I'm just using that number because I think that's what it's going to take from now on for any independent to get the 14th spot in the tournament.
All I know, by the way, just to let you know, the first year of the CCHA was 21-22. So it's only 3 years. And that was interrupted by COVID.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I just looked it up.
3 years of the CCHA?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right, but okay. I'll take your word for it if you looked it up.
I looked it up. I'm
that was
right
the COVID year? That's when they came in during the COVID year?
Well, 21-22. So that would be right after COVID.
So that would be the That would be 3 years ago, like when I was in Boston. That was the first year that Minnesota State was playing for a national championship in their first year in the CCHA.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. If that's what you looked up and that's true, I stand corrected because I did not think. Where were they at the year before then?
Where was who at? The league?
Minnesota State.
In the 2021 season, the Mavericks of Minnesota State won the WCHA over Lake Superior by 12 points during the regular season. Bowling Green also tied for second.
Okay, I don't need to know that. So when was Alaska last?
And again, there was only 14 games played. This was the COVID season. That was the
okay,
season.
Okay, go the year before then. Go back a year before COVID.
Go back to 20.
When did Alaska's, when did Fairbanks and Anchorage get removed from that conference?
That would have been, you mean from the WCHA?
Yeah.
No, that was the year because of COVID.
That's when they got removed from the conference?
Well, the, you know, when
they were in it the year before?
In the 2019-2020 season. The year that ASU made the NCAA tournament. Minnesota State won the CCHA, followed by Bemidji, Northern.
No, I don't even know that. What I'm asking you is,
well,
when,
no, wait a minute. I'm just telling you that Fairbanks finished in a tie for fourth.
So they were in the conference then?
Yes.
So you're telling me that they got removed from the conference in 20 during the COVID season?
Correct.
Wow.
Because Alaska didn't play.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't know that. Okay, stand corrected then. So anyway, there. If that's the case, and I have no reason to doubt you, but then there should be even more reason for the ability to add an independent, quote, and I'm using air quotes, independent conference. Just let them play. All I'm advocating for at this point is, Paul, I'm not advocating for realignment or teams taking in teams. I'm not advocating for that at all. I'm advocating for one spot so that the independent teams have something to play for. Because even if you come, and I'm giving my hypothetical again, even if you come to St. Louis as an independent on tournament weekend, and you play it out, and you know that one of those teams is going to get an auto bid to the tournament, albeit might be the last spot. You at least know that you have a shot, and you can come in as an independent, play that independent tournament, so to speak, and have a shot. Every person, at least at this point, is going to be happy about that, because there are teams like Miami in the NCHC. You think Miami realizes that? Realistically, probably every year for the last 5 years, they haven't had a realistic shot at going to the national tournament because they couldn't get out of their own conference. You know, there's.
But they still had the conference tournament. So
exactly.
They still had a chance.
Except they still had a chance, even though realistically they probably said, you know what? But you're talking about the guys from LIU, Long, Lindenwood, and the two Alaskas. And Stonehill, and you're telling all those players is, you know, you don't have a tournament, so your best shot is to almost go undefeated. That's not going to happen. There's not going to be an independent. There's not going to be any team. Listen, Boston College is the best team in college hockey all year long based on a win-loss record. Guess what, Paul? They're second. They're second now. They lost to Denver, and they're out.
We might have a few different ideas on how to do it. Okay. But you and I have been advocating in various ways that you want more teams than you need to increase the amount of teams that go to the tournament. You need to figure out some way to have schools that might not be able to come in with a conference right away. We understand you got to have resources. We understand that. But because college hockey is so parochial, and I don't know who wrote the line, one of the writers from MASH, those guys at that committee are basically saying, we need custom fits in an off-the-rack world. And those just don't exist. And if you expand the tournament, and now's the time to do that before you award regionals, even if you're going to keep this system. Okay? Expand it to 20. And now you have 19 bids from all these teams that exist now. And the highest ranked independent gets a bid, even if they don't have a quote-unquote independent tournament.
Yeah.
Because at least then you have one shot.
Yep. Yep.
Then at least you know you have a shot. You might have to wait 4 weeks to play, but then maybe you can adjust your schedules too.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I that's why I say I like your idea of that. But I also think if you're going to award, because you just brought it up, you might have to adjust your schedules. You can't. There's nobody to play.
No, the independent teams can adjust their schedule. Sure they can.
How? Who are they going to play? Who are they going to play each later other. In the year?
Each other.
Yeah, that's not going to work. If you're going to do that, then do my system. Find somebody to lead a group of independents and have them play a tournament, and you could start it as soon as next year. You could play in, and I'm going to use St. Louis as a regional spot because it's the center of the country, and oh boy, we know about travel. Just go there. Bring the six teams in, or the five teams, or the eight teams, or however many there are that are independent.
Well, the problem with that is...
And let them play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or let them play Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, or however you want to do it. Bring them in, let them do that, and then let's award that spot, just like you do in Atlantic or ECAC or NCHC, any other conference. It's just that it's an independent conference. But then you take care of the fact that there is no downtime. There is no adjusting the schedules. You just play this in at the end when everybody else is playing tournaments, so are you. You're just going to probably do it in one weekend.
You know, the rules committee might have to create an exemption. I don't care how you do it. Of course.
Right, but you see what I'm saying is if you just take the highest ranking one, they're going to be sitting around, like you say, for 3 or 4 weeks, and that's going to be even less of an advantage for them to play in the tournament. So keep them active. Plus, I can tell you right now, if I went to all the independent schools and I said, hey, this is what I'd like to do, and I can't get you a spot in the tournament this year, but maybe in the future. And worst case scenario is you play for a trophy at the end of the year, and you can hold your head up and say, we were the best of the six independents, independents.
As long as you can get the NCAA to provide a game limit exemption for that, you'll be fine.
Right. But I think that's the only way that you can do it, is to go out and do it that way, because that way the independent team that comes out of a mini tournament, so to speak, or an independent conference tournament, if they come out of that, at least they're going to have some games behind them to keep them sharp. So they won't be at a complete on-ice disadvantage as much as they will be, like, you know, the committee's not going to seed them any higher than 14. Or if you say 20, they might be the 20th team. Who knows?
I don't have a, nobody cares where they were seated. You know,
they just want to get in.
At that, you know, when you're talking about that bottom half, they just want to be in.
Right. But what I'm telling you is, there's two things that I saw from the committee,
and it can be done. Again, they created the extra four for basketball. It can be done. if you wish to do it.
I know. And I know that it can be done. But here's the problem. Number one, they looked pretty much all of us media people, and there was probably 30, 35 of us in the room. They looked us all in the eye and said, hey, everything's good, man. We don't see a problem with the pairwise. We don't see a problem with the independents. We don't see a problem with anything. It's all good. The numbers were up. The numbers, attendance numbers were as high as they've ever been, 77% of capacity, I was told,
right,
for games this year. So they don't see any need or any urgency to make any changes because the squeaky wheel is not squeaky enough. And that's why I said, if you want to keep growing college hockey, you need to find somebody, one person, because they don't want to hear from six different teams. They want to hear from one voice with six or eight teams behind that voice that go to them and say, listen, we are a part of NCAA hockey, but you're making it impossible for us to get to the tournament. And you say that you want to have a great experience for all student athletes, but you're not. You're telling all of our independent teams that, you know, the only way you're getting to the tournament and being the last seed is if you go nearly perfect. And oh, by the way, when you go nearly perfect, you better play BC, BU, Denver, Cornell. You better play all the NCHC teams, because if you play anybody weak, then that's not going to count against you, and you're not going to have much to stand on. And you better go on the road a lot, and you better try to survive with the minimal home games. That's not a formula for growth or success. No. That's a formula to hold you down.
Yeah.
So,
and again,
I mean, that's what has to happen. I don't think there's any other alternative. You have to find somebody that can be the voice of all independent teams. And then you will see other independent teams come on board. They'll say, okay, well, it's hard for us to find a conference, but, you know, at least we have this option.
Again, like I said, you were there. You were there, and I am only sitting here and going based on what I heard, and just what I heard is a bunch of stodgy, stuffed shirts that either can't see the forest for the trees or don't want to rock the boat.
Well, I think you could use either one of them. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back because we're going to talk about the Denver Pioneers. The number, it's hard to even say this. They were the number three team coming in. And some of the tweets I've seen today, Paul, say, like, they're the state of Massachusetts champions because they beat UMass, they beat BC, and they beat BU all in 1 year.
I don't know. There's still other Massachusetts teams that they haven't.
They maybe playing. Beat more, too, though. I don't know who else they played.
I'll have to look.
But no matter what, in this tournament, the Massachusetts teams were all eliminated by Denver.
Oh. Let's see.
Anyway, let's take a break while you're looking, and we'll come back and discuss a little more about the national champions, who, by the way, are now back on campus at the University of Denver and are planning a 6:30 party tomorrow. Nice. By the way, they said there'd be no practice because they're going to have a party.
Yeah, no practice, right. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, we'll get back to that. We'll talk also about some guys that made the move to start their professional career. So we'll be right back.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack is taking spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goal. He scores!
Kale McCarr.
He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me!
CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the heartland of hockey as they and the city of St. Louis host 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports.
From the NCHC.TV studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcast, College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. Scott Cerundi with you tonight, just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, on Lake Elmo, Minnesota. My co-host is always coming at you from the big, beautiful Palatial Estate and Command Center on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. Okay, Paul, we did our best to change life in the NCAA ice hockey Division I ranks.
Right.
I don't know if it'll do any good or not, but we tried.
No, I mean, listen, maybe, who knows, maybe somebody will get lucky when, you know, the Roadrunners get to move into that new building. They're building in Pima County.
Oh, are they going in there? Because I heard they were going to go into Mullet now.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is what I was told.
Where did that go?
I was just...
Where did that work? You didn't even bother with that one.
Well, I hope. Well, I didn't want the parent club there. I don't want the AHL team there either. Nothing wrong. Nothing personal, Steve. But you just stay down there in your nice TCC, and you know, go from there.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, craziness out there. People, get your facts straight and. We don't want to get into the Coyote thing tonight because Stephen Marsh and I will get into that on Thursday.
Nice.
Let's go back to Denver because the Pioneers flew back today to a great reception from everything I've seen. And I lived the reception 2 years ago, Paul, when they came back from Boston. This one, I'm sure, will be as big, better. This is historic because you are now the only team, the first team, to win 10 national championships. That can never be taken away from you. You're the first.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
whether somebody catches you
right.
or passes you, then it's another story. But at this point, you are the first and the best, and you'll always be in the record books as the first team to get 10 national championships. The University of Denver is a great program. So a couple things I want to touch with.
Okay.
Number one is, how did they win this championship? They won it by being creative. They won it by being the most or best conditioned hockey team in the tournament. They did it because they have a coach who can make incredible in-game adjustments. They did it because their coach can draw up a game plan and execute it. They won it because they have chips on their shoulders And it came from everything from how they walked on the red carpet to where they played their regionals to the style of play that they played. They won it because they didn't take crazy penalties all the way through the tournament. They were really, really good at not taking stupid penalties. And what did we talk about beginning of this tournament, Paul, like we always do? Special teams and goaltending.
And they got it.
Those two things. Well, and if you didn't have to be on the penalty kill a whole bunch and you had a great goaltender, pretty good formula to win a championship.
Again.
Pick them apart for me.
Well, I'm not picking them apart as much as I am applauding them for completely changing their game. That's not the way they played during the regular season. At least not that focused. Even during the NCHC tournament. They were good. They were good. They, you know, they earned winning that championship. You know, they fought through an Omaha team that had basically grinded their way to the final game of the NCHC tournament of the, you know, the Frozen Face-Off Championship. All right? And you know, they just couldn't get past Denver, who just was you know, again, you know, grinded them out, even though it was a different way. It was not quite the same way.
Yeah, true. I agree with you, but here's
when it
the
came
thing.
Down what to was... it, and it got to the tournament time, and they went on, you know, they went on the 2-game Massachusetts road swing.
Nice terminology.
They shut down UMass. They shut down a Cornell team that usually does that to everybody else. And
yep,
and again, you know, David Carl may not agree with me in the way I'm presenting it, but I know what I saw most of the year. And I saw a team that was offense first, at least to the layman's eye. And came down on March 28th and said, surprise, we're not playing that way. And they basically, like I said, they shut down UMass. A team I didn't necessarily think, a team that really didn't deserve to be in the tournament, by the way, over Denver's rivals from up the road. CC should have been
down there. The road. Down
up the road.
Road,
down the road, whatever. You're the geography major, not
here,
me.
Let me throw this out there, though, because I want to answer your point. First of all, I think David Carl would agree with you. He told me, he told the media, he told multiple people that he knew he had a young defensive core. He knew that he had 10, soon to be 11 freshmen on his roster. He knew it was going to take time. He knew that they had to improve their defensive style. I don't think it was March 28th when they found their defensive style. I think they found it after Christmas, down the stretch in the NCHC playoffs, if you will, which actually a lot of teams will tell you started December or January 1st. So his team was evolving, and slowly, 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 this was like a snowball just starting to really get rolling.
Maybe.
And it became a mammoth snowball last night when they won the championship because, like I said, I told all the players, I started off, I said, let me recap the tournament for you. 2-1 double overtime, 2-1 regulation, 2-1 overtime, 2-0 to seal the championship. That means you got better as you went along. And that will be a mark, Paul, that will be really, really hard to beat. David Carl also told us in the media during the Frozen Four that no team recently has won a national championship without playing an overtime game.
Well, he knew. Well, that's a guess. So what these games are, there's no tournament that goes by that doesn't have overtime games, especially in the first round.
No, I'm talking about championships. Nobody's won a championship that hasn't won an overtime game to get there. Yeah. So if you didn't play an overtime game, you didn't win the championship. That was kind of a prerequisite for a few years now.
I think that Denver's 8 goals in the tournament to win the national championship is probably the lowest ever. I think I saw it that the previous record was 9.
Yeah, wouldn't doubt it. So, but here's things that people don't look at, I don't think, closely enough. David Carl makes tremendous in-game adjustments. Tremendous adjustments all the time, Paul. You know what? So many people came up to me on Friday and said, what is going on with Denver? They're not even practicing the day before the national tournament. They think they're that good that they don't need to practice. No, that's not it. David read his team.
That's it.
He knew what his team needed. And contrary to what everybody said, he went out and did what was the right thing in his mind for his team, and it worked. Same thing about this stuff about coming down the red carpet. They were all dressed in their tracksuits. That was a deal with New Balance.
Yeah, sure.
And they came in, and everybody bashed them. I mean, everybody. What is wrong with these guys? They're a bunch of slouches in their tracksuits and not in their suits.
That stuff is nonsense. That stuff is nonsense.
I know, but it's real. It was being talked about.
Well, who was talking about it, though? Who was talking about it?
Fans, media people.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about the way they approached the game. It was like, they're not even serious. They didn't come in their suit and ties.
I'm sure it was all the Boston people that were saying it.
I don't know. There was a lot of people.
Whatever.
There were a lot of people that were talking about it. Whatever. I know what you're saying. But what I'm telling you is David Carl knows his team and knows how they play. And I will tell you until the day I die that last night, about midway through the second period, that style that Denver was playing wore them down. And people said, well, wouldn't it be just as hard on them? No. They are well conditioned because they train at altitude. There's a reason why the Olympic athletes go to Colorado Springs and train in altitude. Your stamina is much, much better. And that's why they could play the style that they did. And they didn't get tired or as tired as Boston College. But Boston College was fighting it for the whole second half of the game. You could see it. They didn't have their legs. Their passes weren't crisp. The first thing that goes when your legs go is your ability to make tape-to-tape passes because your arms don't function the same way. You're tired. They don't throw the puck the same way. And it was so clearly, obviously, and I'm not saying that that's why Denver won. I'm just saying that's one of the reasons that helped them win because that style that they played wore down Boston College and didn't wear themselves down.
And I will say this because somebody has to. For those people out there that think, oh, well, the NHL is going to come calling. They might. But you're out of your mind if you think he's leaving.
Well, here's the thing.
Why would he? Here's the first question you have to ask is, why would he leave?
Let me answer that. Life-changing money. $300,000 to $500,000 as a head coach in college. $1 to $3 million per year as a coach in the NHL, and if you come in and signed a 5-year deal at $3 million a year, that's $15 million. That's life-changing money. If they fire you after 3 years, you still get paid and you can go back and coach college hockey. If that's what you're about, which I don't think David Carl is, I wouldn't fault him if he did that. If he had an opportunity to make $15 million in a 5-year contract in the NHL, I wouldn't fault him a bit. But I don't think that's who he is. I could be wrong. I could be wrong because money talks to a lot of people. And I'm not going to ever, I'm not ever going to tell him, David, it's the wrong choice. Because, you know, if you have a chance to make life-changing money for your family,
I get it.
You do it. You do it if that's what's in your heart. But I also think that he might be going like, hey, you know what? $300,000 to $500,000 a year at Denver and becoming, you know, the best college hockey coach in the history of the game, which he has an opportunity to do because he's so young. Yep. And that may be enough to say, you know what? I've got enough money. I'm making enough money.
Well, let's put it this way.
That, and I don't want that.
Let's put it this way. Okay. It's called job security. And and you can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, but he has a chance to be there for Jerry York was at BC for 50 years.
Yeah, he would never have to uproot his family. And here's the other thing, and this might be one of the most important things. People said, well, the NIL could cause problems. It could make his job impossible or not fun or whatever anymore. But here's the deal. You know what the NHL is? A problem every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And by the way, Jack Parker was at BU for 40. Jerry York coached other schools, but he coached for 50 years. But Parker was there for 40 at one school. You see Denver falling off anytime soon?
Nope. Nope, I do not.
You know, I mean.
But here's what I think the motto was at Denver in regards to NIL. Yeah, maybe you can get some NIL deals in Denver, and maybe there'll be more opportunities now because we were 10-time NCAA champions. But David Carl's sales pitch would be, I can make you an NHL player. I can work with you to get you to the NHL, and you're going to make a lot more money in the NHL than you're ever going to make in your 4 years in college on the NIL.
Well, yeah, we know that.
So come to Denver, win championships, and then advance your career. And oh, by the way, you want some lists of some guys that I've advanced? Let's take a look at it. You know, there's a pretty impressive list of guys that have come out of Denver and are making a pretty nice paycheck the professional ranks. Absolutely. So I don't think that's the case. But like I said, would I fault him if he said, hey, I've got an opportunity to make $15 million in 5 years, and I'm young enough to where I could maybe come back if I wanted to? I would never fault him for that. But I would tell you right now is that I don't think he's wired that way, and I don't think he's wired to – he's got a little Herb Brooks in him. And you know what I mean by that, Paul? He's in the pre-independent. I don't think he wants a GM over his head saying, you're going to take this guy and I'm going to trade for that guy and you're going to make those puzzle pieces work. I think he likes a little more control. He told me that one of the things that he likes is to delegate his duties to his assistant coaches, and he trusts them. He gets assistant coaches that he trusts. And he tells them, here's the deal. This is your role. You go do it. I'll leave you alone. You don't do it, I'm going to have to step in. And that works really well for him.
You know, again, I'm going to sit here and say, at least as things are at the moment, I mean, I wouldn't leave Denver.
No, I wouldn't either.
For the NHL, I wouldn't. Why? Yeah, you're in the top 10 every year. You have tremendous job security. And we also see how it works out for a lot of these guys that coach college and then go into the NHL. It doesn't work.
Nope. But like I said, if you're about the money and only the money, right now he's hot. He could take a lot of money. He could command a lot of money. And he could bank a lot of money. And those contracts are guaranteed. If you're a coach and you take a 5-year deal, you're going to get paid all that money, whether they keep you or not. Let me give you a football reference, Paul. Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona Cardinals. He came on board, made a boatload of money.
I know.
He wanted to win. He didn't get where he wanted to. They let him go. And he walked away with a lot of money to do nothing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So anyway, before we go, I want to play a couple of clips that Nick Maxon just put up for us. One is the game-winning goal scoring guy, Jared Wright. I want to play this one more time. So let's play Jared. We'll come right back.
And, I mean, we shut down the league. Jared Wright to me, that speed that I keep talking about, did it again tonight. Tell me about it.
Team, just the whole night, we just had a commitment to defense, and we were using our speed all over the ice, and I mean, we shut down an elite offense to zero goals, and we have a lot to thank for Matthew Davis for that.
Jared, let me recap the national tournament like I've been telling your teammates. 2-1 double overtime, 2-1 regulation, 2-1 in the semifinal in overtime, 2-0 tonight. What does that say about the Pioneers, just how good you are?
I just think at the beginning of the year, we dealt with a lot of adversity, which I don't know if a lot of teams at the top did. And we just found a way to win in tight games. Like you said, 2 overtime wins, really good defense. Obviously, Maddie, like I said before, and just kind of accumulation of all that.
What does it mean to win this in Minnesota? You've been a Minnesota guy. Is it any more special, or is it just number 10 is special?
Number 10 on itself is really special, but especially being here, especially with my grandparents in present, they don't get to see me a whole lot in Denver, so it was really nice, and it means a lot to me for them to be here.
Go celebrate with your guys. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Jared Wright to me, that speed that I keep talking about, did it.
All right, that's Jared Wright. Sorry for that little clip off there. I just wanted to get that in there because I thought what Jared said was so important, Paul, about their speed. I told you before, if there's a faster guy in college hockey, I want to see him because I've witnessed him in practice. I've witnessed him on the ice. There is nobody that I've seen that even compares to his straight line speed.
Yeah, but you say that about a different guy every year.
No, this one, I've been saying this since he came into the NCAA.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
he stood out. He still stands out. If you give him a puck loose, it's more than a great player. It's great speed that you can't teach at. Right. That's something that you either have or you don't. And people will try to improve on it. But let me ask you this, because we know how good Johnny Walker was.
Right.
If Johnny Walker had Jared Wright's speed, how good would Johnny Walker have been? He'd be an NHLer.
Yeah.
He'd be an NHLer. And Johnny would tell you that himself. If he could have gotten his skating ability up to where it needed to be. But he just, you know, he maxed it out. He was a great hockey player with a great shot, great hockey sense, tremendous grit. But he didn't have that God-given speed that makes the difference.
All right, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not Mr. Nickname here, so you're the one that keeps.
Again tonight, tell me.
So, but anyway, the fact of the matter is.
I have one more to play real quick. Go ahead and make your statement. I want to play.
I was just curious. I don't remember other teams taking pieces of the goalie net. When they've won the national champ, is that something?
Yeah, everybody does.
That's the thing. Okay, I don't remember seeing that, so I was just asking.
Yep, that's the thing. Here's Matt Davis. Let me cue it up here and get it rolling. Hold on.
Didn't we just play that?
Piece of net remind you of this great tournament.
Oh,
Well, every day. Every day. Yeah. Can't wait to get my second ring.
All right, here you go. Manny, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy it, okay?
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna go lay down.
All right, that's Matt Davis. Great stuff from him as well. I want to get those two played one more time because the guy that scored the game-winning goal, the first goal, the one of two, if you will, and Matt Davis, the most outstanding player of the tournament. Your thoughts, Paul, on those one more time?
Well, again, right, I mean, Davis played out of his mind. You know, he was there for every big shot. He made every save he had to make. Some of them more spectacular side. And, you know, Nick says it's the save of the year. Who might argue with Nick? He, you know, who might argue with anybody? I'm just a peasant. But, you know.
Well, let me tell you this about Matt Davis. And I know what you're saying. He played out of his mind, which he did. But people think that this is rare, that Matt Davis, this was a rare thing.
Okay, stop. He had like a 980 save percentage for these four games. That is rare for anybody. Let's not get crazy.
I know, but let's not make it sound like he's going to turn around tomorrow and be an 800 save percentage goalie.
No, he's not. But...
No, he's a great goaltender. He had an unbelievable year that, you know, imagine going through what he went through in game five of the year, had to sit out the entire first half of the season, regain his strength and everything that goes along with it.
No, I get that.
Comes
tremendous.
Back out and performs the way he did. But I've seen him, Paul, for 3 years. I told you 3 years ago, I said, he might beat out Magnus. And I was serious when I told him, I said, you know, you're pretty gutsy because you stayed in here. You sat behind Magnus for 2 years, finally got your opportunity, and then the chance you get your opportunity, you get hurt. And it's a bad injury. It takes you half a year to come back. And everybody's going like, man, if people don't sign him today, I don't know. I think Matt Davis might come back now and get a second year because he had to sit for 2 years. So unless his fire is burning so hot right now that the money's like a locked-in NHL contract, which I don't think there is.
Nope.
I don't think he makes a jump. He's not a forward or a defenseman. He's a goaltender. Nope. There has to be a spot for you.
Well, that's true. We've seen it. We know of others that have been in that.
He comes back and tries to get another one. Remember Magnus, his senior year? He came back too because he, you know, everybody said, oh, Magnus is going. No, he didn't. He waited another year and came back. It's different for goaltenders. So I don't think Matt Davis is going anywhere.
Well, he's not. He would be a free agent. So, you know,
there
might not be the same restrictions, but it's not like they're going to pay him $5 million a year.
They can't.
Well, but you get the point.
There's still going to be an entry-level contract. So
yeah, I get it, but
it's not about the money. It's about starting your professional career. And if you know, I heard people say today, like, boy, if the Avalanche don't see if they got a guy in their same zip code.
I mean, come on. That's
no,
ridiculous.
That's not happening. That's not happening.
That's ridiculous. Come on.
So, people, you know how people get excited about that. A couple things to wrap up. Frank Naser did something pretty special today, huh?
Yeah, he got a goal on his first shot in the NHL.
He said, that's the reason I went to Michigan, because they prepared me for this. Nice plug for your college team.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. I've never done that, but very nice.
Cutter Gauthier, who, by the way, said there were going to be a lot of tears in the Denver locker room, and was 100% correct.
Yes, there were.
There were a lot of celebratory tears
in
that locker room.
I mean, good for him for being gutsy enough to say that, but...
He also called that he was going to score two goals.
So...
That didn't quite happen.
No.
And he also said, I haven't had any contact with the Ducks in a long time. BS.
Okay.
He signed his contract today.
Of course he did. Stop it.
It's funny, though. It's funny. And people believe him. They're like, oh, yeah, he might not go because he hasn't talked to the Ducks in a long time. BS. Maybe he didn't talk to the Ducks, but you know his people bit.
Of course they do. Stop
and
it.
And you know the Ducks. And now the Ducks are saying, like, yeah, he signed his contract, and we're putting him right in the lineup as soon as he gets
here. I don't know how the technical language of that works, but the Ducks have one or two games left.
About that.
Yeah, so let him get a taste.
No more than four.
It can't be that many. There's only a week to go. The playoff, you know, there's only a week to go. So let him get a taste. Nothing wrong with that.
No, but anyway, he will be one of the best college players to make the jump in the NHL, in my opinion, because he has all the tools. He's got the professional attitude. He's got the professional body. He's got the professional talent. He just needs a place. He just needs a place to play, and I think Anaheim under Coach Greg Cronin is going to be a fantastic spot for him to play.
You know, he'll get to visit Salt Lake City next year, and he'll be happy. Be good.
All right. I don't have anything more for tonight. Actually, I do, but we don't have enough time to dig into all of it. So,
yeah.
We're working on a couple of guests for this week. Both, I think, if they're able to come on this week, will be wonderful. I don't want to tease it yet because
let's wait till we know
confirmations. But trust me, the two that I'm working on are going to be elite, and you're going to want to hear from these two. Nice.
Yeah, they just don't want to hear from us. Anyway.
Oh, they do. I think they do.
Who are the people?
And they're both coaches.
Well, no, the coaches might want to hear from us, but
they're both coaches that I'm talking about.
All right. All right. From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Live. It's been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. Worldwide, it's where the action is, in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. The NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV. Catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. The TAG Creative Group. Search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. And by the St. Louis Sports Commission, hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app, and is available along with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word, to find any of our shows. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or just tell a friend to help others find the podcast. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are a part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. Again, the college hockey season is now officially over. All of the portal stuff will take place. All of the new coaches will be introduced and stuck in their places. The recruiting process will continue. And Paul and I will be here to bring it to you all the way through the summer as we talk college hockey on College Hockey West Live every Sunday night on the Podbean app or anywhere that you get your podcasts. We'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein and the Peacemakers De Niro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.